1, 2, 3, 4.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together, we're
covered in bees.
Just a bee blanket we've got on over here.
It's my worst nightmare, actually.
Yeah, you don't like bees.
No, and they don't like me.
Do you not like bees because their butt is basically a needle and you're afraid of needles?
That's part of it.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just anything like stabbing into me, I don't like, especially if it's like small and needle shaped. I also just don't like the fact that I've been picked on by bees my whole life.
Picked on by bees.
Like my dad, for instance, has never been stung by a bee.
And he picks on you.
No, he's never been stung by a bee in his whole life.
Okay.
And he's older than me.
Yes.
I've been stung by bees more times than I can count.
Really?
Yes.
More times than you can count.
It's probably in the tens.
Really?
Yeah. I've stopped counting.
I think I've been stung by a bee twice.
See, why do they hate me?
Well, I don't know.
I don't do anything. I don't go near them.
Well, clearly you do because
they go near me.
I don't know. You must be like very inconsiderate of their space.
No. I try to stay away from them.
Yep. Okay. Well, okay. I can think of one reason why they sting you is because whenever you see one, you freak out.
Yeah. I run away.
Yeah. You freak out and you're like, ah! And you like move your limbs really fast and the bee's like threat, threat, threat.
Yeah. Shouldn't it scare them away?
No, that's not how it works.
It works with bears.
Okay. Yes. You know, people are always talking about the similarities between bees and bears.
They're just big, not stripy bees.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't freak out. You have to be very calm.
I feel like they would just sting me anyway to be like, oh, good, he's not moving.
Well, remember, so I found that bee on your hat the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And I took your hat and you were like, get it. And I like took your hat off and very calmly walked out into the hall and just like, boop, just flicked it off.
Yeah.
It was fine. Didn't sting me.
If I weren't wearing a hat, it would have stung my head.
I don't think it would have landed on you.
If I weren't wearing a hat.
No, yeah, I don't think so.
Probably not. Well, the reason I mentioned the bees.
Oh, yeah. Why are we talking about this, Scott?
I'm not actually covered in bees.
No.
But apparently a hot dog stand in Times Square is right now. The biggest threat to our city at this very moment is a hot dog stand covered in bees.
A hot dog stand covered in bees sounds like
improv suggestion.
Cards Against Humanity card.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Hot dog stand covered in bees.
Hot dog stand covered in bees. It's happening right now in Times Square, or it was earlier today. You can look up pictures of it. It is terrifying.
It's a lot.
It makes me wonder, like, where did they come from? Because, like, it's not like they're a hive or like, Central Park, I guess.
And, like, how did they accumulate so quickly to such vast numbers?
Well, they have all those pheromones.
They just, like, sent out an email blast, basically, and were like, come to the hot dog stand!
A email blast.
Oh. Why didn't I think of it?
I don't know. I don't know why I found that one and you didn't. Yeah, they sent the email blast.
On their pheromones?
Oh, we gotta stop.
All their text messages were buzzing. I really just wanted to say bee puns.
Yeah. I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, hot dog stand covered in bees. August 28th, 2018.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
And we are not in Times Square, luckily.
No.
We are safely in Harlem.
Yes.
Recording Song Salad.
Which is a short song that we write about a random topic in a random style of music.
And we get our random genres and topics by spinning the salad spinner, which are suggestions that come from you, our loyal listeners, for noises or impressions for us to do.
While we wait to see what the great salad spinner
keep going,
of fate
keep going.
Brings
keep
us.
Going. Good. Good job. This week's salad spinner suggestion comes from beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, 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 boop. JD. Chip.
Chip, thank you so much for your suggestion, which is Little Wayne disappointed that his local grocery store ran out of kombucha.
Very good suggestion.
It's a good suggestion. It plays on our strengths, which are easy impressions.
Yep.
Outrage.
Yep.
And
grocery store based salad spinners.
Yes. Which is actually true.
That is true.
Yeah. So great job. Thank you very much.
Okay. So would you like to go first? I could do it if you want.
Yeah, you go first and let us get our genre this week with Scott's Lil Wayne.
Okay. I'm ready for that healthy fizzy drink. What? Spin. I got the blues. Kraft macaroni and cheese.
No, we did not get Kraft macaroni and cheese as a genre.
We should get it as a snack.
Ooh, tonight?
Maybe.
Maybe.
We'll talk about this later.
Yeah, okay.
Delta blues.
Delta blues.
We've done blues.
We've done Delta Burke.
We've not done Delta Burke.
Maybe you haven't.
We've done Delta Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done...
Delta Faucets.
Delta Faucets.
Anyway.
We haven't done Delta Blues,
no.
Which is one of the earliest known styles of blues music. Mm. It originated in the Mississippi Delta, hence the name, a region of the United States stretching from Memphis, Tennessee in the north to Vicksburg, Mississippi in the south, and from Helena, Arkansas in the west to the Yazoo River in the east.
The Yazoo River. Did you know that was a place in America?
I feel like we've talked about it on this show.
Really?
Well... The only reason I've actually heard of Yazoo is because there's a brewery in Tennessee called Yazoo that's very good. So
also a character in The Lion King.
That's Zazu.
Yeah, I know.
He's later in the phone book.
Yeah, Zazu and his brother Yazoo. And then there's Wazoo.
And then there's Wazoo.
That's a dumb joke. So tell me about... Tell me about the Delta Blues, Scott.
Well, before I do that, I'll say this sentence on Wikipedia. That is, the Mississippi Delta is famous for its fertile soil and for its poverty.
Oh, jeez. Yikes, Wikipedia.
I wasn't really prepared for the end of that sentence.
Yeah, that you really thought you were going somewhere else with it, and then it really just kind of took a nosedive, huh?
Yeah. Maybe the poverty thing will come back later. We'll see. Delta blues is regarded as a regional variant of country blues. Guitar and harmonica are its dominant instruments. Slide guitar, usually played by a steel guitar, is a hallmark of the style. Vocal styles in Delta blues range from introspective and soulful to passionate and fiery.
What does that mean, steel guitar? Does it just mean not acoustic?
It means not made of wood, made of actual steel.
So, but is it an electric guitar?
Usually yes.
Stumped ya.
Usually yes, but I'm gonna say when this style originated, it wasn't.
You can have an acoustic steel guitar.
Yeah.
Doesn't that just sound like a tin can?
It sounds really twangy.
Oh.
But it's a thing.
Cool.
But it has a special resonator in the front of it that helps project the sound because it's less hollow than a wood body guitar.
What's the resonator made out of?
It has like springs in it.
What?
Let's look up a picture.
Let's look at this thing. Oh, these guys.
Steel body with a resonator.
I guess I kind of always thought they were just like fancy banjos.
Basically.
You know? Like, yeah. Okay. So here's what we're looking at, guys. We're looking at a guitar. It's more or less shaped like a guitar, but its face is wrong. It's got, so it has like F holes that are traditional to like a violin or a viola or cello, you know, mm-hmm. those kind of like scrolly shaped holes. They're higher up the body than in the like top lobe of the guitar.
Yeah.
And then its face is like a banjo instead of a hole.
Yep.
There's a banjo where its hole should be.
Exactly. It's a nice, fancy-looking guitar.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
They're heavy, too.
Could you play a sample of what that might sound like by itself?
Sure.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
know what that sounds like?
The opening to like Breaking Bad and stuff.
Well, I was gonna say it means you're about to hear a story about poor people.
About the poverty along the Mississippi Delta.
Yes, that's what that sound means.
Yeah, or like it almost sounds like SpongeBob transition music, you know, like country SpongeBob.
Yeah, so it's like super twang.
Yeah, super twang.
I'm into this.
Right, and so I played the examples of both the finger picking and the sliding, and so you'll notice that, like Wikipedia mentioned, it's often played as a slide guitar. What you do is you have a metal or glass cylinder on your pinky, and as you're playing, you can both depress the frets with your fingers and use the slide to depress the frets and slide up and down. So,
and the frets are the little like raised bars that kind of go across the neck of the guitar.
Frets, they raise the bar. Is that a thing? Okay, keep going. So scholars disagree as to whether there is a substantial musicological difference between blues that originated in the Mississippi Delta and blues from other parts of the country. The defining characteristics of Delta blues are instrumentation and an emphasis on rhythm and, quote, bottleneck slide guitar. So that specific sound and that specific guitar might be what define the genre. The basic harmonic structure is not substantially different from that of blues performed elsewhere. We've talked about the 1-4-5 chords before, and the 12-bar blues.
Yep.
Delta blues is a style as much as a geographical form. Skip James and Elmore James, who were not born in the Delta, are considered Delta blues musicians. Performers traveled throughout the Mississippi Delta, Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, and Tennessee, and eventually Delta blues spread across the country, giving rise to a host of regional variations, including Chicago blues and Detroit blues.
So this genre arose at the turn of the 20th century, but wasn't actually recorded and marketed until the late 20s, which is when record companies realized that there was an African-American market for...
How about that?
Yeah. So yet again, as we've talked about many times... music by ethnic minorities, which was then capitalized on by white people to make money. But it did spread the Delta blues around because they were finally being, you know, recorded and marketed rather than just played locally.
Yes. It started as a oral tradition, colloquial genre, folk genre, really, and then grew from there.
Most of the earliest recordings were a single person singing and playing an instrument, even though in live performances there would be several musicians.
Tell us about the themes.
Delta blues songs are typically expressed in the first person, as almost all blues songs are. I don't think that's an exception. The blues are a very emotive genre, so they're concerning love, sex, the traveling lifestyle, and its tribulations, sin, salvation, and death.
On the road again.
Several blues musicians were imprisoned in the Mississippi State Penitentiary at Parchman Farm, which is referred to in songs such as Bucca White's Parchman Farm Blues and the folk song Midnight Special.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So if you think about other blues songs that we've either talked about before, episode 9, so like a million years ago, Fake Gustav's Lament is our blues episode, and that was about love lost. There is also maybe Delta blues is like a little bit more like existentially focused, but other blues songs often talk about like the love of a good woman or losing a good woman.
Sure.
Or just amatory problems in general. Mm. But these ones seem to be a little bit more about like bigger picture things. So
yeah, we'll try to get some examples.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what's fun?
What's fun?
In big city blues, women singers.
Oh.
Such as Ma Rainey, Bessie Smith, and Mammy?
Probably Mammy.
And Mammy Smith dominated the recordings of the 1920s. However, women rarely recorded Delta blues and other rural or folk style blues. So you're off the hook, maybe?
Maybe.
In Delta blues, female performers often had some romantic connection to more notable male performers.
Geeshee Wiley was reportedly linked with Papa Charlie McCoy, whose brother Kansas Joe McCoy was married to Memphis Minnie, and the Seminole Charlie Patton sometimes played and recorded with his wife, Bertha Lee. It was not until the late 60s that women began to be heard in recorded performances at the level they had previously enjoyed.
Ah.
Oh, interesting. It was then that Janis Joplin arrived as the first female performer to achieve both accolades from her peers as a blues performer and crossover commercial success, reaching diverse audiences with powerful and emotive vocal delivery.
Yeah, that's a good example of fiery vocals and passion to vocals is Janis Joplin's style.
Other women influenced by Delta Blues who learned from some of the most notable artists still living include Bonnie Raitt, Rory Block, and Susan Tedeschi.
So maybe we could have you sing a Delta Blues song if it's like, you know, lamenting the fact that you're underappreciated or something.
I do not feel vocally underappreciated. I'm just putting that out there.
Well, your character.
My character, right. We could also... look up some of these like duos, like the guy that played her and recorded with his wife. Like,
that's
I wonder if they're both singing or if one of them is singing and he's playing guitar or something.
Yeah, let's see if we can find a Charlie Patton Bertha Lee recording.
Cool.
Well, appropriately,
we found a song called Hot Dog Cart Full of Bees.
We did. It's called Yellow Bee from 1934, recorded by Charlie Patton and Bertha Lee. It seems like Charlie is playing guitar here and Bertha is singing.
Yeah.
And you can hear a couple interjections from Charlie. And then we're also going to play a little bit of Papa Freddy, Freddy Spruill, singing the Milk Cow Blues. And apparently he was
the first recorded Delta Blues singer in 1926.
Cool. Here they are.
Listen to my story now, please listen to my song. Can't you imagine how I feel now, how much in my real milk I'll go? She's a full-blood animal, tell you boys the way I know.
So obviously, as Shannon said, the recorded early Delta Blues focused on solo instruments and singers. So that's what you heard here. But we could imagine that our recording is a live performance and add some extra instruments. Again, they mentioned in the Wikipedia article that guitar, harmonica, and the slide guitar are all the most common instruments used. So maybe we'll incorporate those.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Topic time.
Topic time.
Time for you to be Lil Wayne.
Oh, that's right.
Sad about no kombucha in the grocery store.
Right. Oh, yeah. I love kombucha. Wait. Hey. You don't have any.
That was so calm. But you don't have any.
Well, yeah, but he yelled, hey.
The poor person stocking the shelves, they probably dropped a bunch of cans on themselves.
On themselves.
Spin. Lord, I was born a rambling man.
Is your name Alan Barnes?
No.
Oh, no. Well, we got a traveling scholarship. And that's why you messed it all up. You're supposed to say yes.
I failed at the first rule of improv.
Yes. You knowed me. You're supposed
no,
to yes
and.
Yeah, no. No, and I'm going to do my thing now.
Do your thing.
You're a rambling man.
Yeah.
Your name is Alan Barnes.
My name is Alan Barnes.
And you have a traveling scholarship.
I got the travel bug.
Appropriate for the blues, which is about
apparently.
Traveling.
Yeah.
So... let's learn about this scholarship. The Alan Barnes Traveling Scholarship, with two L's in the middle because it's British, is an award made annually at the discretion of the president of the Royal Society of Ulster Architects in conjunction with other adjudicators. The scholarship is intended to help architectural students to travel and to study architecture overseas.
So you could sing a blues song about the trials and tribulations of traveling overseas to study architecture, I guess.
I guess so. The most privileged kind of travel. Traveling for free.
Yeah, on a scholarship.
To study at a prestigious degree.
Well, Alan Barnes died in 1987, and to honor his memory, the Barnes family, in conjunction with that Royal Society of Ulster Architects and the Queen's University of Belfast, established a traveling scholarship. Wait, a traveling scholarship? A yeah. traveling scholarship.
No.
Is the scholarship traveling?
No, it's okay. a traveling the people scholarship. Are traveling. Yes. Right.
This scholarship is open to any student born in Northern Ireland who studies at a recognized school of architecture in the British Isles and who is in their third year of study.
Super cool.
That's interesting because if you look at the past recipients,
yes,
there's a lot of them that have like, oh, I understand. Never mind.
Were you going to say that they look
were
like
from different places? But this is listing where they traveled, not where they're from.
Yeah.
I thought it was listing where they were from.
Oh.
They're all from Northern Ireland.
They are all from Northern Ireland. Alan Barnes, let's talk about this dude.
Yeah, tell me about him.
He was a Northern Irish architect.
Makes sense.
From 1977 to 1979.
He was an Argentine dairy farmer. Yeah. And had nothing to do with this.
He just always loved building. From 77 to 79, he served as the president of the Royal Society of Ulster Architects, RIBA, Northern Ireland. RIBA is the Royal Institute of British Architects. And after his death in 1987, you know the rest. And yep. that's his whole Wikipedia article.
You want to know one interesting place that one of these winners of the scholarship went?
I do.
Alabama.
No, why?
Christopher Brown in 2006 chose Alabama as his location to study architecture abroad.
Christopher Brown, you did a bad job.
But maybe he heard some blues.
Maybe he did hear some blues there. There are Delta blues there, right?
I guess. Other places people have gone include Colombia, Spain and Portugal, Bosnia and Herzegovina and Croatia, Finland, just the United States in general. That's kind of broad.
Yeah.
Barcelona, Switzerland, Germany, Finland, Norway, China, Netherlands, and Brazil.
Cool.
The last recipient listed here is from 2014.
Yeah, maybe they haven't super kept up with this, huh?
Sarah Steenson. I was wondering if maybe we could like tweet at the latest recipient or something.
Defo.
Defo.
Well, on Twitter, December 5th, 2017,
yeah.
not that long ago, the Alan Barnes Traveling Scholarship took...
at
Emma Reed.
Emma Reed.
She has three followers. Oh, she has 16 followers. She only follows three people.
Well,
let's make it four.
Let's make it four and 17.
Yeah, she went to Santiago.
Ooh, good choice.
Yeah, cool. And Northern Ireland architects can now apply for 2018. Oh my God, there's a Survey Monkey.
How
they apply. Oh my God, can apply right now.
Well, we don't count.
But what if we just did it though?
Do you want to apply? Should we make up a person and catfish this scholarship?
Maybe. Oh, but it says you have to tick a box that says, I confirm I was born in Northern Ireland and I'm currently in the final year of an undergraduate architecture course at the School of Architecture in Ireland or Britain.
Is that too much of a lie for you?
Yeah.
Just click a little box that says that?
I'm a big rule follower. You know me.
Yeah, it's true.
So the scholarship is a minimum of £500, but could be as much as £1,000, depending on the nature of the proposed trip.
That's less than I thought.
It's just for travel, though.
Yeah. That doesn't go a long way, though.
Well, but like, where are you flying from more than £500? Or like...
From Northern Ireland to Santiago, Chile?
Well, yeah, I guess
that's expensive.
Maybe. Yeah, probably.
And you have to pay to stay there.
Well,
like...
yeah, but it's not for that. It's not the Alan Barnes staying scholarship.
But he's just going to send people places one way.
Yeah, one-way ticket. It's the Alan Barnes one-way ticket to nowhere.
The Alan Barnes, please get out of Northern Ireland. See anything else scholarship.
Even Alabama, apparently.
Even Alabama.
That's
a cheap flight.
That is, I think it would be hard.
Actually, no, that would be an expensive
flight. Wouldn't it be hard?
You'd probably have to do a layover in Atlanta.
Yeah, but you'd probably have to fly into DC or Philly
before Atlanta. Before,
don't you think?
I think there's flights from Atlanta to Ireland. Should we look at this? This is not interesting.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it. Hold on. You can cut this. Wait, this is great content.
Here's what I'm gonna Google. What's the most expensive place to fly to from Northern Ireland? That's what I'm gonna find.
That's what you're gonna Google?
Yes. Well, I'm gonna find it.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna sleuth it.
All right. Are we doing this right now?
Yeah.
Okay. There are no direct flights from Belfast to Atlanta.
Damn.
You know where you have to stop?
Where?
Amsterdam.
To then to Atlanta?
Yeah.
Or to then to Alabama?
Then to Atlanta.
Oh.
How's your research going?
Here's my thing.
Yeah, what's your thing?
I could keep doing research, but I think we should move on. But I looked up the geographically furthest city from Belfast.
Okay.
In the world.
Okay.
It's Auckland, New Zealand.
Oh, sure.
But you can't fly from the Belfast airport to Auckland, New Zealand. It's just not possible.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
So,
But
that would probably be expensive.
Well, but guess how much it is to go from Belfast to Birmingham?
Round trip?
Yes.
How much?
Can you see it on
my
computer?
Yeah, I can see it on the screen.
It's only $839.
Yeah, so if you get a 500-pound scholarship, that's going to go to most of that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, when we win it, we'll think about where we want to go. Oh, my God.
What?
Can you see?
Yes.
The average flight time from Dublin to Auckland?
Uh-huh.
24 hours
no.
and 25 minutes over a day.
That sucks.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Remember? Do you remember when we were like 19
I know where
years
this is
old
going.
And we took a bus from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania
yep.
to Fort Lauderdale, Florida?
Yep.
Do you remember how long that took us? I do.
I wish I remember how many hours. Was it 19 hours?
Oh.
More than that?
My sweet boy. It was 36 hours.
Oh, yes. 36.
It was so long.
I blocked it out of my memory.
We were so smelly.
Yeah.
And that was the dumbest thing maybe I've ever done to save money.
Yeah.
But when
it's up there.
But when you're 19,
and you can't afford to fly from Pittsburgh to Florida.
Yeah. And your time is not precious.
No.
You're 19.
You're like, I don't mind that I'm wasting 3 days of my spring break to travel on a Greyhound.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. A Greyhound bus from Pittsburgh to Florida.
Ugh.
It was like $150.
I think it was less than that. I think it was 80.
Probably.
I think it was $80.
How stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid. That was our spring break.
We should create a Shannon and Scott travel scholarship that gives you $80 towards a Greyhound exclusively.
And you have to go more than 5 states away.
Yes.
That's the rule.
That's our scholarship. Who wants to apply? Add us. Wait, speaking of adding, did you tweet at Emmy yet?
No.
Tweet at her.
What am I going to say?
Fine, I'll tweet at her.
We haven't even made the song yet.
Fine. We'll tweet at her later.
Yeah, we got to make the song first.
Okay, so let's go make the song.
Yes.
I'm going to put together traditional blues instruments and chord structures and form.
I'm going to write a blues song about traveling.
Great.
Great.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, boo.
Hey.
I got the blues.
Well, it's contagious.
Oh, no.
You've all got it now.
In your ears. Got them ears blues.
It's an ear infection.
Yeah. I wrote lyrics.
Cool.
So 12 bar blues.
Yeah.
Let's talk about them.
Yeah.
Had a very regular rhyme structure and overall song structure.
Right.
Most of them are considered to be strophic.
Okay.
Which means a strophic form is a verse repeating or chorus form.
Okay.
So it means that the music is the same under every section of music.
That is what I did.
Great. Perfect. versus something that like changes and evolves with every new verse or whatever.
Anti-strophic.
Yeah, there you go. And then the rhyme scheme is very regular.
Mm-hmm.
It's technically, I guess, if you're just looking at it from like a line or like a single lyric perspective, it's AAB, which is two of the same or very similar lines.
Yeah.
And then a third, like, different line.
Like, going out with my baby, gonna have ourselves a time. Yeah, going out with my baby, sure going to have ourselves a time.
Exactly. AA.
Then my baby said, I don't have time to have a time. It's a sad song.
So it's technically four lines, even though the third line and the fourth line combined are the same
syllabic content.
Yes, as the first two lines.
Gotcha.
So, and the general structure is you state the problem.
Yep.
Then you state it again.
Yep.
Then you either solve or complicate the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then you either, like, celebrate the solving or you lament the complication.
Gotcha.
So it would be like, going out with my baby, gonna have ourselves a time. Yeah, yep. Going out with my baby, sure gonna have ourselves a time.
Good memory.
I ain't got no car.
Ah.
And now my baby isn't mine.
Oh, that's very good.
Thank you.
You should write lyrics.
All right. Oh, thanks so much. So I kind of tried to do that. It's not quite as, like, clear problem, complication,
yeah,
solution,
sure,
you know?
Sure.
It's mm-hmm. not exactly like that, but you'll see how it kind of evolves as we go. They generally have as many verses as the singer wanted, and a lot of the time the repetition of the first line was in order to give the singer time to come up with the improvised third and fourth line.
That makes sense.
So you could really make the songs as long as you wanted.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't necessarily any, like, ending or high point to the song. It could kind of just, like, go on forever.
Right. And it left the opportunity for instrumental improvisation and soloing in addition to vocal improvisation and soloing.
Correct. And the rhyme scheme is very regular, so I don't do any of my slant rhymes, really.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Big day.
Yeah, I mean, it just means I can't be as lazy as I normally am.
Sure.
So, you want to hear my blues?
I do.
Okay, here we go. To study cupolas and columns, got to get to Italy. To study cupolas and columns, got to get to Italy. But without some modest funding, no one will ever hire me. and then the second verse, I'm into topographic building, gonna fly off to Peru. That sweet topographic building, gonna fly off to Peru. But I don't got the ticket money. What's a poor student to do?
Problems.
And then the last verse, I got the builder's bones inside me, and I gotta let you know. I got those builder's bones inside me, and I gotta let you know. And thanks to Alan Barnes' family, I can go where I want to go.
Hopeful. Positive. Yeah. So you're remedying your blues with this scholarship.
Indeed. Indeed I am.
Did you look up topographic building?
I did. I liked Peru, and I was like, what is unique about the architecture of Peru? And I didn't want to do colonial architecture because that just smacks of grossness.
Sure.
But ancient Incan architecture in Peru is actually super interesting, and they tended to work with the topography of their landscape and their building sites versus
level everything.
Yeah, exactly. So that's like topographic building or topographic design, I guess.
Fun.
And then I was trying to use you're gonna be like, this is the most Shannon thing to ever happen. I was trying to use the lyric cellular polygonal masonry.
Yeah, that is pretty Shannon.
Yeah, it didn't work though. but it's actually really neat. It's like look at this stone. If you go on Wikipedia and you look at
at this stone.
Inca architecture is the Wikipedia article. But they have like they would just cut stones that have like 12 different faces to like perfectly fit in these little holes.
Wow.
And all the like the masonry is very irregular, but they
cellular polygonal
masonry. And then there's ashlar polygonal masonry. It's cool. Crazy. So if you look at like,
well, you got to fill that hole somehow.
Yeah, that's what she said. but yeah, it's like, it's not like they made bricks. It's flattened the sides of the stones that they could, and then they fit them together very like neatly and precisely, but they weren't all the same size.
Yeah.
It's cool.
All right.
But yeah, that was it. And then,
but not a good lyric.
No, not a good lyric, but an interesting factoid.
Cool. I also have an interesting factoid because I misspoke when I said that resonator guitars have springs in them.
Oh.
They're actually metal cones.
Oh.
Yeah, because I was like, I don't think they're springs. So I looked it up. So it actually, so you know how the face of a speaker almost looks like an inverted cone?
Yeah.
It basically is like a metal, you know, cone that is attached to a wooden bridge, which is called a biscuit.
Yes, it is.
And the wooden bridge is against the faceplate of the guitar underneath where the strings are plucked. Mm-hmm. And the vibrations of plucking the strings vibrates the biscuit, which then sends the sound through the metal cone and out the F holes, which is why the F holes are there. And that's the basic operation of a steel guitar, also known as a dobro, which is now used sort of as a catch-all term for these steel guitars, steel resonator guitars, but used to be a specific brand of these guitars invented by a guy whose last name sounded sort of like dobro.
It wasn't even dobro?
No, just... it was like dobri ra or something like that. Yeah,
sure. Great. Yeah. Cool.
He was like Slovakian, I want to say.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Okay.
My research stops there.
Yeah, great. So what should we call this song?
Oh, bring up the lyrics again. Let me look.
Builder's Bones?
Builder's Bones is pretty good. I like Builder's Bones.
Builder's Bones?
Yeah, Builder's Bones Blues.
The Builder's Bones Blues.
Yes. So here is...
The Builder's Bones Blues.
A Delta Blues song.
By Shannon and Scott.
And columns. I gotta get to Italy. To study cupolas and columns, I gotta get to Italy. But without some modest funding, no one will ever hire me. I'm in the topographic building, gonna fly off to Peru. That sweet topographic building, gonna fly off to Peru. But I don't got that ticket money, what's a poor student to do? I got the builder's bones inside me, and I got to let you know. Oh, got those builder's bones inside me, and I got to let you know. And thanks to Alan Barnes's family, I can go where I want to go.
So during the recording of that, Shannon got the blues.
I got the blues singing the blues.
I left it very free form melodically.
Not my forte.
Which it's asking a lot of someone just to improvise a melody. So
when you're not a singer or trained as a singer in any way.
So Shannon got the double blues, the blues while you sing the blues.
The duple blues.
Which we call the duple blues. The classic German word.
I've got the duple blues.
What is the duple blues? I'm singing the blues and I have the blues about it.
You know what I should have done?
What?
I should have been Randy.
Oh.
I should have, If I had been able to tap into Randy,
right.
Randy don't care.
Randy just sings what flows out of him.
Exactly.
He plays the tambourine like God intended.
Yeah.
And he sings what God wills.
He just moves with the wind.
Exactly.
Like the cat tails.
The cat of nine tails.
That's, I was like, that's not the right one. Yep.
Well, whatever you're into.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did a bad job, but
no, you did great.
Scott's going to make it sound good.
It's fine in post.
We'll fix it in post.
You and did the women of the Delta proud.
Did I?
You represented them.
In that not many of them were singing then. Is how I represented them. Yeah, next time I'll just...
The quality of singing was poor, yeah. Like the Delta.
The land was very fertile, and the quality of singing
was poor.
Oh, boy. Oh,
I'm sorry. That was low-hanging fruit.
No, it's fine. Yeah, guys. Thanks for listening to this podcast where I mangle songs. It's super nice of you.
And if you want to hear more of it, there's 125 others.
There are. The last blues song Scott sang, like you said, episode number 9. So Scott did that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just go listen to that one. It's fine. Sounds the same.
You can check out everything that we have to offer on Song Salad.
Everything that we have to offer.
Yes. SongSaladPodcast.com.
Yep. And if you become a Patreon donor at just $2 a month, that's 50 cents an episode, we will send you a vinyl decal. It's really cute.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's our album art, and it's a little square sticker, and it's great. And if you donate at $5 a month or up, you will get access to exclusive bonus content, which I am assuming in a few weeks is going to include a whole lot of me singing this very badly.
Yeah. And sooner than that, it's going to include a whole lot of extra interview with Bill Strand, the chameleon breeder.
Yes. How cool was he? Please, if you have not listened to that yet for whatever reason, go back and listen. He was the best. And if we have any new chameleon enthusiast listeners who we picked up by cross podlinating, but with Bill, hi, welcome, we like you here too.
Join our Facebook group, the Song Salad Podcast, the produce section.
Yes.
And follow us on Twitter at Song Salad Cast.
If you have salad spinner suggestions, you can send them to us on Twitter. You can also send them to us in a list form and email. We are now randomizing our salad spinner suggestions, so we're no longer going in chronological order. So you never know when your spinner suggestion is going to come up, just like Chip/JD's this week. Thank you again.
Very good suggestion.
Yes.
And if you're new, please rate and review and don't sue.
Thanks.
We love your ratings and reviews on iTunes. If you give us a review, we'll shout you out.
Yeah.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're going where we want to go.
Thanks, Alan Barnes.
Thanks, Alan.
Oh, we got to tweet those people.
Oh, yeah. Tweet them.
One.
Tweet them good.
Three. Five.